Good evening and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. A landmark day in the history of Taiwan, of China, of the United States, with the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States, Nancy Pelosi, travelling to Taiwan despite intense pressure from Beijing. Beijing did not want her there. She's decided to go over there. China has upped the ante in the last little while, threatening major military action in terms of military exercises. They're still using the word military exercises, but hastening to add that the U.S. is responsible, as are Chinese, as are Taiwanese separatists, from any outcome, should there be an outcome, to what is likely to be a fairly tense situation over the next couple of days. But Nancy Pelosi, 82 years old, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, number three in the U.S. chain of command after the President and the Vice President, somebody who's been a critic of China for several decades. She was in Tiananmen Square in 1988 with placards in her hand. Subsequently, she's criticized China's policy against its Uyghur minorities in the west of China. Someone who actually had the option of saying, all right, fine, given the threat posed by China, I will not visit Taiwan, decides instead that from Kuala Lumpur, where she was, she would in fact fly to Taipei, where she's been welcomed. So in as much as we report this as a clear sign of American determination, on a day in which America also announced that they had eliminated the world's top terrorist, Ayman al-Zawahiri, the leader of the Al-Qaeda. But talking about Nancy Pelosi, in as much as we speak about her courage and America's courage and their conviction in actually sending her there, the point is, what will happen in the next couple of days? China has a long memory. Will they, in fact, strike back against Taiwan in some way, shape or form? Now, there have been very strong reactions in the last little while, shortly after landing, and she landed about 8:20 or 8:30. Nancy Pelosi tweeted, she said, "Our delegation's visit to Taiwan honors America's unwavering commitment to supporting Taiwan's vibrant democracy. Our discussions with Taiwan's leadership reaffirm our support for our partner and promote our shared interests, including advancing a free and open Indo-Pacific. America's solidarity with the 23 million people of Taiwan is more important today than ever, as the world faces the choice between autocracy and democracy." So a very strong statement over there. And the U.S. staring back at China has now issued another statement that the Taiwan visit honors the U.S. commitment to democracy. The world faces the choice between autocracy and democracy. The focus is on reaffirming support to a free and open Indo-Pacific. The U.S. solidarity with 23 million people more important than ever. The visit in no way contradicts a long-standing U.S. policy, that's of one China. The U.S. continues to oppose unilateral efforts to change the status quo. Now, China has reacted very, very strongly to all of this, with Global Times, which is the Chinese government mouthpiece, saying China will definitely take all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard its sovereignty and territorial integrity in response to the U.S. Speaker's visit. All the consequences must be borne by the U.S. and the Taiwan independence separatist forces. They've also said that the PLA will conduct important military exercises and training activities, including live fire drills in six regions, including the Taiwan island, from Thursday to Sunday, including six regions surrounding the Taiwan island from Thursday to Sunday. So that's what's going to happen right now. But let's also bring you a couple of details of what Nancy Pelosi's plans are going forward, as we get lots of strong reactions from China. Well, the U.S. House Speaker defying Beijing to fly in to Taipei. Ms. Pelosi is scheduled to meet the Taiwanese president tomorrow and visit the country's legislature. She'll hold a press conference tomorrow as well and meet activists before leaving tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Indian Standard Time. China, for its part, has said, as I've mentioned, that they'll defend their sovereignty and have begun carrying out belligerent military drills. Meanwhile, the United States and China have stepped up their military presence in the Taiwan Straits. The U.S., for its part, has deployed four warships, including an aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan, that you see over there in that picture, into the region. They are deployed presently off the east coast of Taiwan. The office of the president of Taiwan was attacked today. Cyber attacks took place. And Taiwan has reinforced its own combat alert level calling military personnel off vacation. So that's what the situation is right now. I'm joined by Rick Glovert of Taiwan Plus, who's been reporting for us. Priya Lalwani Purswani is a professional interpreter and founder of the Association of Indians in Taiwan, an important Indian voice from Taipei. Colonel Lawrence Selin is an Afghanistan veteran, is closely observing all of these developments. There's a lot to be spoken about Afghanistan and American resolve there today. We'll come to that. Brahma Chalani, a familiar face, but perhaps India's foremost China observer, I think. That is without a doubt.
My phone's going to run out of battery soon because I haven't been able to charge it.
Right. Rick, quick question to you. What is the reaction around you? Is there a sense of tension? She's arrived now. But what is the military situation? Is there a higher state of alert in Taipei?
Yep. So in Taipei itself, 200 police officers have been put on duty to look after Nancy Pelosi during her trip. We've seen a bomb threat to both this airport and another airport near the capital of Taipei. Meanwhile, the alert level of the military has been risen from today until Thursday, which means that people that are active in the military are not allowed to take vacation. Aside from that, we've also seen some activity at the Air Force bases around the country, getting ready to scramble jets if that's needed. We just had a statement from the Ministry of National Defense saying that the Chinese reports that fighter jets were flying across the Taiwan Strait were not true. And that's about it for the military action from the Taiwan side, yes.
You know, Brahma Chalani, I'm just going through this detailed Chinese statement where they say the Taiwan question is the most important and most sensitive issue at the very heart of China-U.S. relations. The Taiwan Strait is facing a new round of tensions and severe challenges. The Taiwan authorities have kept seeking U.S. support for their independence agenda. They refuse to recognize the 1992 push, etc., etc. This is China actually talking about protecting what they see to be their territory, a country which has invaded, for all practical purposes, parts of West Bhutan. They have seized territory within India, and yet are trying to talk about the sanctity of their own territory. Isn't this a hallmark of double standards of Beijing?
You're absolutely right, Vishnu. Whichever territory China covets, it claims that that territory has always been part of China since ancient times. So the Chinese claim that Taiwan has always been part of China is dubious at best. It's actually based on revisionist history. For most of its history, Taiwan was inhabited by non-Chinese people. Not many people know that geographically, Taiwan is closer to the Philippines than to mainland China. The northernmost territory of Philippines is just 80 kilometers from Taiwan's shores. It was not until 1887, I'm talking of fairly modern times, until 1887 that Taiwan was declared a province of China. But just 8 years later, China ceded Taiwan to Japan in perpetuity following its defeat in the war. For the last 128 years or so, Taiwan has been outside China's lawful control. And as you rightly point out, Taiwan has all the attributes of a robust independent state, and most Taiwanese want it to stay that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Shouldn't their preference matter? But you know, just the way China annexed Tibet in the early 1950s, Xi Jinping is itching to annex Taiwan in the name of quote unquote reunification.
Right.
But you know, let's be clear, a Chinese invasion of Taiwan would constitute the biggest threat to world peace in a generation.
Yep.
And will bring India's security under intense pressure, given the fact that China shows large parts of India as belonging to China.
Right.
So they will try to do to India what they succeed vis-a-vis China.
No, in fact, that's important. Colonel Selin, you know, I think it's also important to reflect on how robust American foreign and military policy actually is today, more than in recent times. We slammed the United States when they came out of Afghanistan. You're an Afghanistan war veteran yourself. A lot of people would suggest that the effort people like you put in, it all disappeared all too soon. But today is a day when I think American foreign policy and military policy needs to be commended. In Afghanistan, the president announced that Ayman al-Zawahiri has been taken out, and today the U.S. government backed Nancy Pelosi to the hilt as she made that risky trip. So again, the message perhaps from the United States is that, look, we can talk, but don't test us because our resolve is strong. Would you agree that that's the message from Washington?
Well, I think you're right. It's certainly the message that's coming out of Washington, D.C., but you know, how accurate is it? I think the U.S. military is at its weakest point in many years, and we have to consider the logistical problems if the U.S. Military, in particular the U.S. Navy, engages China within their area of operations, very close to the mainland. Now, I think the rhetoric has escalated to the point that someone's going to lose face here. And I'm afraid the Chinese feel very strongly about this and may decide to act. Now, I don't expect necessarily an invasion of Taiwan at this point, but there are offshore islands that Taiwan administers, in particular the Kinmen Islands and the Lianjiang Islands, which are formerly known as Quemoy and Matsu. Now, these are unfortified islands that are administered by Taiwan and could be very easily militarily occupied by China. Now, this would be a great symbolic victory for China at very little risk. So we're seeing a lot of military activity in Fujian province, which is the area directly across from Taiwan, but also directly connected to these offshore islands. So I'm a bit concerned that they might make a military move on Kinmen Islands or the Matsu Islands.
You know, we've got that footage on our screens right now of armored personnel carriers, even tanks and trucks in the Fujian area. It's too early to say that they're going to be deployed immediately, but there does appear to be some sort of a build-up over there. Priya Lalwani, Purswani, India's had an important relationship with Taipei. It's been growing in strength over the last couple of years. India does believe in that One China policy. That being said, give us an idea of what the Indian community in Taipei is feeling tonight.
I think life here is pretty much normal. There are Indians here who've been living for 30, 40 years. They are used to this kind of rhetoric from China. We frequently have threats whenever we have any important visitors from other countries. They send some aircraft into the Taiwan ADIZ, or their foreign ministry representatives say lots of things on air. And in Chinese social media also gets very upset. So the older Indian residents are okay, but there are some newer, younger people. So students have been messaging me asking what's happening, because media in India is really making it seem like there's going to be war. And the parents are very worried, and they keep messaging the students here, and then they get worried too. So it's the newer Indians here are a bit worried, but I think we hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. I think that's what we need to follow.
All right. So, you know, there's just breaking news coming in now. I just wanted to get Colonel Selin to perhaps respond to this. Global Times reporting that the PLA will launch a series of targeted military operations to counter Pelosi's visit to Taiwan and resolutely defend national sovereignty and territorial integrity. This according to the Chinese Ministry of National Defense. Couple of points over here. When you actually want to carry out military actions, you don't really announce it to the rest of the world. But it's just ratcheting up tensions, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. These military exercises were planned for a while, but we have a situation now where we have the two opposing forces, the United States Navy and the People's Liberation Army and Navy, that may become, engaged. So I think it's a very dangerous situation that we're facing now.
you know, they've also come out, and let's try and pull this map out from Global Times. They've actually come out with a map where they've identified six areas all around Taiwan to the south, to the southeast. Yeah, so we've got this on the screen. Let's have this up full frame if we can. It is up full frame. Six areas, six fairly substantial areas where they say they're going to hold military exercises. This surrounds Taiwan completely. So this is evidently the response, the military response. Brahmachilani, would you like to respond to this? This is what China intends to do now with these exercises, surround Taiwan.
Well, I think it's very important to keep one thing in mind. If you look at China's military tactics since 1949, they try to achieve their objectives by stealth. By direct combat, they rarely seek to achieve their objectives. Even against India, if you look at the territories that India has lost, the major territories, yep. Aksai Chin in the mid-1950s, or the more recent Ladakh land grabs of April 2020, mm-hmm. all that happened by stealth. When they engage in clashes with Indian forces, their conscript soldiers do not fare well. Their pattern of expansionism, whether it's the South China Sea, whether it's, you know, what they're trying to do in the East China Sea, it's always by stealth. They will not like to seek to engage American forces directly. They will seek to avoid any kind of direct military conflict with the Americans because that will expose their weaknesses.
Right.
They will definitely seek to flex their muscles. They will definitely seek to show that they have stood up to the U.S., that's for sure. But we have to keep one other thing in mind, which is that China right now is facing serious troubles at home.
Right.
Xi Jinping is seeking a norm-breaking third term as Communist Party chairman.
Yes.
But his domestic problems are growing. The Chinese economy has slowed almost to a halt,
right,
triggering rising unemployment and debt crisis. This raises the risk that Xi Jinping might resort to nationalist brinkmanship as a distraction.
Right.
So he might engage in some provocation, but that provocation will not lead to direct military conflict with the United States.
Colonel Selin, do you agree with Dr. Chilani that there won't be anything more direct than these exercises around Taiwan? And secondly, what does the U.S. do? What does the U.S. Navy do? Just stand by and watch?
Well, I think Professor Chilani is correct. The U.S. Navy is not going to, you know, directly interdict the Chinese forces who are on what they call a military exercise. So I think both sides would want to avoid any kind of confrontation that would lead to something, you know, much, much more dangerous. But what concerns me about Xi Jinping is that exactly as the Professor Chilani talked about, they have serious economic problems. And when people become desperate, you never quite know what they're going to do. But I think over the next few days, we'll have a clearer picture of, what might happen or what might not happen. But I expect the Chinese to continue putting pressure on Taiwan and the United States to gain their, what they describe as their sovereignty over Taiwan.
Sure. Priya, you know, the next couple of days, one way or the other, will remain tense in Taipei and in other cities in Taiwan. Are you sensing any of that already? We believe that there's a higher standard of military alert. Are the police alerting people? Are there air raid drills going on? Anything of that sort?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. So Taiwan does have air raid drills annually, and we just had those last week. These are routine drills that I've been here for 34 years, and we've had them every year. So these were not drills done because Pelosi's coming here. They're just done every year, and they do practice like what should people do in case there's an attack, where should people evacuate to, the drills, they practice the drills, the audio. So that was done last week. But apart from that, I think life here is quite normal. There's a bit of excitement. People are excited to see that she's here. There's the 101, Taipei 101, the tallest building in Taiwan, has some messages welcoming her. So there's not so much tension yet. I think the ball is now in China's court, in a way, you could say. But I think the Taiwanese people are used to this kind of stuff, yeah.
Colonel Selin, one final question. You know, I mean, any imminent Chinese invasion of Taiwan would mean the invasion, A, of a thriving democracy, B, of a country which defines semiconductors at a global level. It is an extremely industrialized, prosperous democracy. And the destruction or the potential destruction of such a vibrant society would be devastating, wouldn't it?
Yes, indeed. I think this is, again, where Professor Chan is correct. As you say, if China actually invades Taiwan, there could be a great deal of destruction of the infrastructure there, which China desperately wants, is particularly about the chips, computer chips. But I still go back to this issue of the offshore islands. These are unfortified islands very close to the mainland. And if China wants to save face in this situation, they could easily militarily occupy these islands, and they are highly significant symbolically. So that is one possibility that China can do in the case that they feel they have to save face in this particular crisis that we're experiencing.
All right, but I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Priya, go ahead with your point. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying, it feels like China's put the corner themselves into a corner, and that might be a way out, which is very worrying because both of my kids are currently on vacation on an outlying island. So that makes me tenser than I was before we started this call.
Yeah, well,
if I could just add one point, Vishnu, quickly here, that the Chinese Communist Party has a proclivity to engage in actions that are counterproductive to long-term Chinese interests. But for Chinese bullying threats, a Pelosi visit to Taiwan would not have happened.
Right.
After all, President Biden was trying to persuade Pelosi not to visit Taiwan. But the bullying threats made it impossible for Washington to back down.
Right.
Similarly, if China were to occupy any of these Taiwanese unfortified islets, this will trigger a tremendous backlash against China. It will prompt so much pressure on Biden administration to shore up Taiwan's defenses and to do something more concrete.
Yep.
To ensure that if China were to invade Taiwan,
yep,
that the cost for China would be concrete, would be tangible.
Right.
So this kind of action is going to be counterproductive to China's long-term interests.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, Priya, hopefully, I'm sure your kids would be absolutely fine. I'm sure you have nothing to worry about. But Dr. Chilani, thanks for making that point. And I think the larger issue, therefore, is in as much as this is a victory for democracy and democratic forces to have Pelosi in Taiwan, what is it that she's actually triggered? Is there a worry that this is going to spiral out of control? Maybe not in terms of a direct invasion, but in terms of reactions and counteractions from China and the United States. And where does that leave Asia-Pacific security? We'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. We'll take a short break, come back with more.